tuning in to the online broadcast network, AfterBuzz TV. Over 20 million weekly downloads in over 150 countries and your number one source for after-show entertainment. TV, the destination for TV superfans, producing aftershows for over 300 of your favorite TV shows, interviewing celebrities and showrunners, and bringing you behind-the-scenes exclusives. All thanks to E! Entertainment's Maria Menounos, producer Kevin Undergaro, and internet leader Akamai. Now, let the buzz begin!
Oh, yeah. Here we are again. Episode 7, our AfterBuzz After Show 4, High Profits, the CNN original series. We are here again. I'm Steph Z. I got Meredith Placco here.
Hey, guys. It's good to be back.
It's good to be talking about this show again. Along the way, if you guys want to tweet us, if you're watching live or even after the show to keep the conversation going, you can tweet me at IAMSTEFZ. Where can the people tweet you?
You can find me at MPLACKO,
which is the M Placco. All right, guys, we are here. This is a big, big episode, number 7 of and for the people. In a few minutes, we have Elizabeth Lawrence calling into the show, which is going to be really amazing to see her journey, man. Yeah. She's kind of been all over the place a little bit, and I appreciate her heart.
Well, you know, this council is made up of so many different people, young and seasoned. And, you know, I think she tried to do the best she could, but it's tough. And, you know, yeah. I think this episode, we really saw, the level of small town politics and what money can do.
Well, it's interesting because is it small town politics or is it just politics?
I know it is.
Whether it's small or large, I feel like this kind of thing is what happens in politics all around.
It is. You know? Actually, I was explaining this to my boyfriend on the ride up here today, because we're recapping the episode in the car, and I had mentioned, you know, what had happened with, you know, them with Mike and, you know, gathering all that much money to go for the anti-Main Street marijuana shop initiative, and, you know, how that sort of affected everything. And I was telling Greg, and I'm like, yeah, but, you know, this is the same thing. We see this happening in Capitol Hill all the time, but, you know, this was a much more direct approach of seeing it.
Yeah, I think more direct. Yeah, I think also more relatable because it was a smaller election, you know. And again, we're talking about the special election to see if Brian and Caitlin get to keep the Breckenridge Cannabis Club on Main Street. You know, and we've only watched. I'm very curious to see what happens now. We learn in this episode, you know, not to jump ahead, but we're going to talk about it. We learn in this episode that they lose the vote.
Yeah,
so we'll get through there and we'll get there. But, you know, I feel like it is a little bit more tangible because it's something that you could see yourself being a part of and actually seeing a direct change. I feel like a lot of times when we vote on the higher level, there's not an instantaneous direct victory or, you know.
I feel like this episode and this whole series has really showcased what politics is all about. And I understand because the subject matter is so controversial. But, you know, as in being
a bunch of random people having a really important role in other people's lives.
Yeah. but I'm saying, like, on an educational front, I've learned more about, well, that's not true because I worked in the news industry, but that aside, if I hadn't, you know, been involved in politics, right. I've learned more about politics watching this than I did in any high school class. And I feel like...
Totally true.
Yeah, and I feel like there's a lot to be taken away from this whole series.
Right.
And I, especially on the political level, I have a lot of feelings.
Which, again, is why this show, one of the reasons it's so great and it's one of my favorite docuseries is because, again, what the docuseries is about is in question. Yeah. Not that it's in question, but it's about so many different things. Yeah. That's what I mean to say. It's about the legalization of marijuana. It's about small town politics. It's about growing pains of a business.
Yeah.
There's so many things. So I really feel like no matter who you are, you can relate to this show and get educated, which kind of makes me happy.
Yeah. I mean, CNN, we've said it from the beginning, has done something new and outstanding with this series. And I'm really glad that it got greenlit and we get to see the, you know,
right.
what happens. And it's definitely made me want to go visit Breck.
I know. I'm for sure going. You know, while we start off this episode, we can get this part talked about with this final inspection. And I, again, you know, I've said it once, I've said it twice, Brian, you know, I really like Brian. I think he's a smart guy. I mean, you know, there's a question. There's some, again, mm-hmm. flaws in this episode that we'll get to. But I like the fact that they're like, okay, we don't want the cameras this time following. Because he's yeah. like, we need to get this inspection passed because we're screwed. Mm-hmm. We have nowhere, like, we're just screwed. Yeah. So, like, all right, guys, you know. And he's just a class act to me. Yes, maybe I don't agree with some of his decisions, again, which we'll get into. And yes, maybe I definitely would have planned things differently.
Yeah.
But he's a class act. No matter what happens, he keeps it together. He keeps going. And he also supports Caitlin mm-hmm. always. So not only does he have to keep himself together, he keeps her together. And he just, he doesn't lose his cool.
Yeah, I was just going to say, he remains really calm and collected throughout most of it. And he's got a really great head on his shoulder. And it's really good to see that because, you know, we see kind of everyone else around him, be it, you know, Caitlin or, you know, even Catherine, they all have, you know, the council members, they all have their moments where they kind of like, what do I do next?
Right.
And it's great to kind of see Brian is, you know, he's the star of the show in many ways because he can own it and he can own himself. And I really love how he's able to support his girlfriend, his coworkers. And in many ways, he supports a lot of the people in the town.
He does. And I appreciate mm-hmm. him for that.
But
again, I don't know that I agree with some of his decisions. I feel like the sleeper star of the show is Catherine.
Yeah.
Which you can see. And I just got the hand signal, mm-hmm. I guess, from our awesome engineer, Steven, that Elizabeth Lawrence is on the line joining us for the episode. Hello, Elizabeth.
Hi there, Steph.
Thank you so much for calling. We're so excited to have you as part of our show.
Well, thank you for asking me. I'm honored. And I'm sorry, who's with you today, Meredith or Andrea?
Meredith is with me. Unfortunately, Andrea, she got a job that made her travel.
Yeah, and I did know that. Okay, well, hi, Meredith.
Hi, Elizabeth. Thank you so much.
So, Elizabeth, I mean, this episode for you, man, your life's been a little bit of a roller coaster, huh?
It has, and I just want to echo something Catherine said when she spoke to you, and she also tweeted about this, that the drama in real life was so much more dramatic than what they actually showed on the episodes. And that is true. I mean, every bit of that is true. Watching this, even friends, family said, gosh, the show made it seem a lot nicer than it really was. So, and I know that it seemed dramatic on the show, but believe me, in real life, it was worse and much more of a roller coaster. But it was condensed, you know, into 8 episodes, and so it's kind of hard to get all the story in there. But it has been a roller coaster. I'm so grateful now this is all behind us and we can move forward.
Right. And again, just so that you know, we haven't seen episode 8 yet. So we'll talk.
Oh, I thought we were discussing 7 and 8 today.
No, just 7. Because originally we were going to do 2 episodes every time we did a show. But because we got so much support from you guys and we had a lot of guests every show, we decided to do, you know, 1 episode per show so that we had more time to talk about everything.
Okay.
I mean, and again, like we've read the news, like we know some of the stuff, like we get that Brian and Kate, you know, but in the same
sense,
you know, some of the juice, if
so
there's something.
Help me only because I haven't seen episode 7 since it originally aired. Just so I don't get ahead of myself, you might have to set the context a little bit.
Okay, so pretty much the storyline is this is when we as the viewer find out that they lose the vote. So it opens with you talking to, I believe, your child about what's right. You have, you know, a little bit going back and forth again with all the council members, but we're kind of left at, you know, the council meeting where everyone is, not everyone, or whoever's running the meeting is like, can we just wrap this up so CNN can take its cameras and get out of here, pretty much, is what they were saying.
Correct.
So we're kind of there. And, you know, this was the episode that I feel like there was a lot of, not influence, but talk about the black market and things of marijuana and what it would do for and against Breck if it was moved. Like, it kind of just explores all that.
Sure, I absolutely believe that. You know, when I was talking to my daughter in the episode, and you also don't see this in the show, but it actually, while we were filming, it was kind of a major part that didn't make it in there. But my home that I own, my condo, was actually next door to the Airport Road marijuana shop.
Oh, wow.
And it's interesting that they left that part out because it was actually such a major part in that. And we had owned that home, so Zoe had grown up next to that. And, you know, it's safe, it's been fine, it was quiet, et cetera. And so we had had conversations about it. She knew Brian and Caitlin. We became friends for this process. Allie, Lauren, you know, a bunch of people that worked at the store. Those became people that we were friends with. We would see downtown and we would give them a hug, et cetera. So she was so much aware of the situation, but it really required us to have a bigger situation and conversation. You know, it really should be treated like alcohol. And that is how the state of Colorado's voters originally passed it. It should be taxed and legalized in the same manner as alcohol. That was what was written in our amendment that passed.
Oh, wow, that's interesting.
And yes, and so it was important to have that conversation with my daughter. It's just like alcohol. You have to be 21. These are the rules around it, et cetera, et cetera. You know, you don't walk down the street drinking a beer normally. You know, it's the same way. You're not going to walk down the street smoking a joint. You do it in the privacy of your own home, et cetera. And for certain legalized places. And so it was really a bigger conversation than that. But it has also really affected her because it was, we do live in a small town, you know, it's about 4,500 people, and she understood what was happening.
Right, and how old is your daughter?
She's 9.
Oh, wow, yeah, so that's kind of, you know, puts the context that this is something that parents can talk about with their children. And it's funny, I feel like children are so much less judgmental than adults, so I feel like they're the easiest people to talk to in a way, where a lot of people make it that talking to the children would be the hardest thing, but it's like if you talk to your child in a way and explain them and educate them in a way, they're not going to combat you because you're their parent and they trust you, and if you put it in a way. So that's kind of interesting that at 9 years old she kind of understood.
And I believe it's harder to talk to teenagers about it. It's one of those things, the earlier the better. You know, this is different. This is a legal substance here, and this is what you need to know about it.
Right. Oh, well, that's very interesting. So, okay, so as we go through, what do you think? For me, this is kind of the meat of, well, besides everything that you say, and we'll do that, we'll get into the council people right after this, but the big thing for this to me is, what did you think about Brian and Caitlin's efforts to campaign? You know, I mean, and again, you know, you were there, you lived this, so you might have more knowledge than us. But to me, as a viewer, it seems like it would, like, I can't understand why they didn't campaign more.
Of course. So there are two sides to this. One, I was highly disappointed in having a background in political campaigns. I was disappointed that Brian and Caitlin didn't do more. I offered suggestions. I had told them, and it kind of fell on deaf ears in a way. Again, I became friends with them because of this process. I didn't know them before. It was only after all of this and we were going through it that I somewhat became their ally in a way. And they are very dear to me, but at the same time, sometimes naive in a way. And they were naive in this situation about what they needed to do to campaign. And it was so little in comparison to the opposition. So that was one part of it. There was a second part that was left out of the show, and I can understand why this was. So CNN had released a trailer about the show, also known as a sizzle reel. Mm-hmm. That was released during the campaign. The trailer, if you would have, I don't know if you ever saw it, it was awful. It would make you be against BCT. It showed, you know, Brian kind of rolling around with money, and it just made it look like a bunch of stoners in a bad place. You know, we really don't want this on Main Street. So that trailer came out during the campaign and got widely distributed. So people said, because of this, because of the way the trailer looks, there's no way I can support this business staying down there.
Wow. That changes things.
That's a game. Yeah, that's very interesting that is a...
And at one point, Brian and I had had a conversation, you know, about a week after the trailer was out, and he was like, do you understand that it was edited in a way? I'm like, Brian, absolutely I understand. I still support you guys. And I said, I need you to know how much this is going to hurt you. And you have nothing in your back pocket to combat this. You do not have a PR plan. You do not have a campaign plan to come out. And really what the campaign should have been was about that free market capitalism. And it wasn't. That should have been Brian's stand. Not about marijuana. Not about how it helps people that are sick. That part needed to be out of it. This was about business. And if you would have played to the voters that this is a business decision and that council is kicking off a business that had been there 5 years, I think the campaign would have been totally different.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's so interesting that you say that because I feel like CNN, and again, I haven't seen that sizzle reel, but I feel like CNN has done such a great job to not make it a stoner show. So it's interesting maybe
that's just a sizzle reel that came out earlier, like in maybe November. And that is just changed.
Which was relative, it was like a month before the vote.
Yeah. And generally speaking, when the scissor reels, I don't know if CNN cut it or if Bat Bridge cut it, because sometimes those scissor reels are done by the production companies. At least that's been my experience when working with reality and docu-stuff. So that's interesting.
Oh, wait. We lost Elizabeth. Oh, no. Elizabeth, please call us back. I don't know what happened. That is very, very... All right. So we'll wait. Yeah. We'll get Elizabeth back. I don't know why.
That's so fascinating because, you know, the soul, the other...
Soul Shine
shop with the controversy where they had one of the partners who got arrested in Tennessee came out around the election. And I thought that was kind of what threw it. But knowing
that... Well, but
that,
that's just so interesting, too, because you think about it and you think about the news and stuff that I've read and I'm sure, you know, other people have read, you being in the news. It's like there is a tactic of distraction for news sometimes. Like I read this very interesting article that was like the day Caitlyn Jenner... came out, or the Vanity Fair, or whatever she posed on, all the things you missed in the news because everybody was focused on this. And like one of them was that we had, you know, 95% of TSA failed. News can be played in a way.
But people make it seem like it's like we have a big cabal back, like, you know, the secret Illuminati organization. It's like, we're going to hide the real news from the people. It's like, no, it's because news is it's a profit medium. You have to put out what people want. And if people aren't tuning in for the TSA story, but they're tuning in for the Caitlyn Jenner story, what story are you going to air? What are you going to get your viewers?
The same sense, that's, we might have to agree to disagree on this one, because in the same sense, like you, as a news agency, you have to put out the news, not only the news that people want to see.
You don't have to, though.
But you should.
I think you should. No, I agree. Yeah. You totally should.
Oh, is she back?
Are you back, Elizabeth?
Okay, I'm back on.
Yay!
All right, sweet.
Sorry about that. I'm not sure what happened. But, no, I think the show was done wonderfully, and it really showed both sides of the issue, and it was beautifully done.
Yeah.
The trailer that came out in the fall was so different than
The
later, you know, promos of the show, et cetera.
Yeah, I'm going to have to look that up. So what are your feelings on, you know, Catherine and Catherine's attempts to – you know, tell Brian that he kind of pretty much is going to lose, that he needs some sort of campaign. I mean, we had Catherine here. I had the privilege to go have dinner with her and get to know her a little bit better. I think she's a great, smart businesswoman. And I know that, you know, Brian might not have trust her intentions, and she's holding her cards a little bit close. But, you know, she also was, you know, one of the most brilliant things she said in this episode for me was that Brian was looking to lose $600,000 a month. So if I was going to lose $600,000 a month, I'd at least spend $500,000 on a campaign. He spent $800.
Right.
So what?
All right. And that was a good point. Catherine and I had philosophical differences on the issue of the monopoly and Brian having a monopoly and then versus the airport road stores. You know, there's a backstory. Brian had been down there downtown for 5 years. That was his conscious business decision. The stores on Airport Road made a conscious business decision to be on Airport Road. That was their choice.
Yeah, I agree with you for that.
It's not my job as an elected official to correct the business mistakes of someone else, right?
Yeah, fair.
That's what happens all the time in business and real estate, et cetera. Sometimes you make a good choice. Sometimes you make a bad choice. Those airport road stores, in hindsight, realize they probably made a bad choice by being on airport road once retail marijuana became legal.
Right.
I didn't feel that what we needed to correct, meaning as a council. So I was all about baby steps in this from the beginning. Let's allow BCC to stay downtown for a year, and then let's revisit the situation. And that's really where Catherine and the airport road source came in and said, no, that's a monopoly. That argument just didn't work with me because they had a choice 5 years ago, 4 or 3 years ago, and they just chose not to do it.
Yeah, I think we agree with you because we've talked about that, you know, on the show as well. And I kind of do agree 100% with you that, you know, Brian decided to weather the storm and ride it out to sea, and these other people didn't. Because at that point in time, there could have been more than one on Main Street. There could have been a completely different fight.
Yeah, at one point we had three.
Right. And then what, did they just went out of business? Is that what happened?
Yeah. Third question, you know, different things.
Yeah, so, I mean, the fact that Brian and Caitlin figured out a way to stay there, and I'm sure, and you know them way better than I do, I'm sure that it was Brian, you know, being the cheerleader of ride this out, because it seems like Caitlin kind of just went along with it, but was a little bit more fragile in the situation than Brian.
Yeah, but she's a lot more savvy, business savvy, and tough than she came off in the show.
Oh, really? That's good to hear.
She doesn't really put up as much BS, if you'll let me be frank.
Yeah. So, no, yeah, we like her.
And like myself, I mean, she's emotional. I was a crier, too. She's a crier. Not a bad thing. We're both very passionate about what we were doing. She's tough when she needs to be.
Yeah, and it was at a really high, stressful time. And, I mean, obviously, you know, you're going to be emotional if, you know, at some point, and the cameras just have to catch the time she was really emotional.
Yeah, well, and again, I'm sure that's a little bit of the, you know, way that they play it out. But I feel like, you know, I like that, not Elizabeth, that's you, that Caitlin did, like you said, allow us to see that vulnerability, because we all deal with it differently.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I cry at sports. I do when people Jets win. Lost. I get so weak. No, I cry when they win.
Aww.
It's crazy, but I get it.
Right.
Yeah. Now, Elizabeth, correct me if I'm wrong here, but with Brian and Caitlin's fight, they never were fighting to have a monopoly. They just wanted to stay, and they never once said, no one else can come
back.
Correct.
Okay. Correct. Yes, they weren't fighting to stay on their own. It was more just allow their business to stay.
Yeah.
And that's where I said the baby steps. Let's just keep them down there for a bit. Mm-hmm. And to me, it didn't matter who it was. It could have been anyone else owning that store. But it was more about whoever was there, keep them down, and we can slowly ease into this.
Yeah, which is interesting because it's almost like no matter which way you slice it, Brian and Caitlin lose. They were the ones that stuck it out for the longest amount of time. And even if they would have got to stay on Airport Road, and I don't think it would have happened right away, but other shops could have.
Oh, you mean Main Street?
Street, sorry. Yeah. Other ones could have come in.
Other shops could have slowly come down.
Right, so it maybe their profits would have come down anyway. But the fact that it became such an issue, you know, they were just bound to lose one way or another, really, which kind of sucks because they were the ones that, which you see a lot that happens. It's, you know, how many people put in hard work and get screwed? Like, I feel like they kind of got screwed a little bit. Anyone agree with that?
Or disagree with
that? No, I completely agree. I feel like it was a lose-lose situation, and the problem with it being so publicized, you know, CNN aside, just the local media probably, you know, glomming onto it like they would. It seemed like the issue at hand, which really was about a city voting on what business could stay downtown or not, you know, was undermined by the what the business was selling.
Right. Wow. Okay, so I have some questions for you, Elizabeth. I'm really curious. How do you get to be a part of this council? Like, how was this council formed?
Oh, sure. So it's basically like most other city council campaigns in the country. I mean, we run. I mean, it's a campaign, and we're elected. And,
oh, wow.
When I ran, April of 2014, eight people ran for three open seats. We all have at-large seats here in Breckenridge. Huh. We had one incumbent that was running, Mark Burke, and then Aaron and myself were the two new people elected. So, again, eight people ran, three of us were elected.
Hmm. Right.
Yeah.
That's just really...
And every 2 years, we have a new election.
And do you...
And so this...
Go ahead.
Go ahead. Well, April of 2016, there will be two council seats up for re-election and then a new mayor.
Oh.
And is this something, again, because we kind of just closed the show, and I don't know if it's something we see in episode 8 or not, but I'm curious and I want to know anyway.
Yeah.
Is this something that you think will come back up in election, or do you think this is, you know, dead and buried?
I don't think it's dead and buried. And I don't know if it will necessarily come back up. Of course, I will be honest, like most politicians, we question our decisions and if this will hurt us in a future election. And I did think about that a lot. And I realized I couldn't lead my life and have my decisions guided by whether or not I was elected again. And I really needed to do what I believed in. And I would hope in 2018, when it's time for re-election, this does not come back to haunt me in any way, but we'll see. And hopefully our community has moved on. I don't want to spoil episode 8, so there are, I have so many great facts and figures for you after that, but maybe I'll have to call in next week and we can discuss that.
Yeah, so we
kind of
that.
A follow-up.
We'd love that. Well, that's just really interesting the way the whole thing really works.
Marijuana wasn't an issue in our campaign necessarily.
Mm-hmm,
if
right.
someone would have asked me during the campaign, how do you feel about changing the last council's decision and allowing BCC to stay? And I was asked that a few times. I was very honest. I absolutely believe they should be able to stay.
Yeah. But we have you, and again, I don't know, you know, how much of this you want to talk about or not, and if you don't, it's totally fine. But we have, we see your journey a little bit of being totally for it, then, you know, I don't know if pressure is the right word, but there's, you know, pressure, for lack of a better word, of, you know, outside people to organizations and stuff that you had to deal with, and then there was a little bit of, you know, not that I don't feel like you ever were against the marijuana, but I feel like maybe there was a nervous energy about what you were saying and how it would affect your job, your life. But then in this episode, we see you've, and again, we don't know the exact timeline of that's happened, but we see that you kind of got over that. And you're like, you know, I feel like people are being misled. So tell us a little bit about that. Like, was it a lot? Yeah, and you said it was a lot dramatic and a lot worse than maybe we saw. So what was that really like? Like, what are some of the things that you kind of had to deal with?
Sure. A lot of pressure. And I was so guided because I'm a single mom. I don't have someone else's income to depend on. And I couldn't lose my job. And I was very, very scared of that, you know. And my job means a lot to me, and it's really that I have two full-time jobs. You know, here as an elected official in Breckenridge, it's not paid like a full-time job. It's not really a full-time job. You know, you more do it because you love it and you really care about the community, and you want to be in the public sector. But I have a day job that I go to, and there were some threats against that. There were quite a few, and I was so nervous about losing that job and how things would go down there. It did sway me for a bit, you know, as far as putting it to a vote.
Right.
I was really honest about regretting putting it to a vote. That wouldn't have changed anything. It just would have been Aaron and myself.
Right.
So still, that wouldn't have changed much. But
it was almost better that you changed it to a vote in a way, because then you put it in the hands of Brian and Caitlin to go campaign and make it work for themselves. Because if it, like you said, the only ones that would have voted for it are you and Aaron.
Right, right, yes. I mean, unless as a council we would have had more of an opportunity because, and I don't know if you quite picked that up, but originally the vote was 4-3, meaning Ben, Mark, Aaron, and myself had all agreed that Brian and Caitlin could stay. And this happened in summer of 2014.
Okay.
We received so much pressure, and Wendy and Gary and John said 4-3 is too close. That's not a mandate. We need to have a bigger majority and all be on the same page about that.
Oh,
it really
yeah.
drug out. We can see for months and months and months.
Yeah, that's kind of, I mean, I remember the 4-3, but yeah. I feel like it was a little bit more fuzzy of why the four, like, majority is majority.
Yeah.
I mean, we just had, you know, the Supreme
right.
Court rule of 4-3, right?
Or
5-4, and it stands. So that's
original,
pretty interesting.
And this is what also changed that. The original 4-3 was for Brian and Caitlin.
Mm-hmm.
Then enter, for BCC to be able to stay. Then enter Catherine, who said, oh, no, that's not fair. You're giving them a monopoly. And that's where everything blew up.
Catherine, the culprit, threw him a curveball. Wow.
She did throw a curveball. Just, you know, there would be a monopoly. Let me represent the airport road stores. You can't allow one store to stay without the others coming down, et cetera, et cetera. And then that's where the whole conversation changed.
But was it that the 4-3 said, did the 4-3 vote include that more stores could come on Main Street, or was it just that Brian and Caitlin could stay?
No, that specific 4-3 vote in June of 2014 was just that BCC could stay.
So that's why Catherine was like, you know, why does Brian get to be the only store that's allowed to be on Main Street and make all the money?
Yes.
Got it.
Yeah,
I might be pissed about that, too, if I was someone else. But, I mean, again, it's like seniority.
Yeah.
I would understand that as a business owner. I might be upset about it, but I would understand logic behind it.
I would have, wrote it out and just wait to see and then hope, you know, when that time frame was up, try to push for more stores. You know?
And it's interesting to me, too, because I feel... And I don't know how you feel, you know, Elizabeth, you're way more connected to it than I am. I feel like, you know, one day in the next 5 years, there'll be a cannabis shop on Main Street. I feel like in some way, shape, or form, the way that, you know, the regulations or lack of or whatever are happening, that this will happen. And I was just very curious as to if Brian and Caitlin kind of got, like, first dibs to go back if that was to be passed. Did that ever come
right.
up?
Yeah, I have absolutely no idea what will happen there. I can't predict. I would have never guessed that a simple question about marijuana would have changed our town so much and caused such divisiveness in our town. And
is the feeling different there now? Because I've been to Breck a few times. I haven't been since this show, but can you feel that change?
No, it was just during the campaign. During the conversation. So basically from June until December of last year, that's really where the divisiveness came in. Of course, we did a study. We commissioned our local tourism organization to do a study for us after the campaign ended to find out if our visitors cared if marijuana was on Main Street or in Breckenridge. And it turned out that they don't care. It doesn't affect their vacation.
Weird.
Wow.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about your council members. I don't want you to throw anyone under the bus.
Yeah,
I'm not trying to say
you're
that.
Comfortable
I'm just
talking about.
I'm just saying that I feel like there was certain things that stood out to us as a viewer. Like Mike Dudick, if I'm saying his name right, how he, you know, last episode we see that he's voting against it, but he's shopping at the cannabis club. I mean, like, they show us things like that are so bizarre. And at this episode, I swear, and I'm not even trying to be funny, the first shot of him during this episode, it looked like he was super high.
I know.
He looked super rugged or something was happening.
I also need to just point out that his major complaint about if BCC stayed on Main Street would be
parking. Come on.
Because if parking is your biggest issue, that people are hanging out in your main street of your downtown, then I think that's a good problem to have.
Yeah. Is there, like, did they paint the picture of him?
accurately?
Yeah, that's accurately, or is that
or no comment?
Or no comment is fine. Yeah.
Oh, so, you know, I've never served on council with Mike. I have known him for many years, but he was on the council previous, before I was on there. You know, he's very, very passionate and committed to our community and has done so many wonderful, wonderful things for it. I was surprised that he was so adamantly against BCC staying downtown, and that did catch me by surprise. You know, I can't question his reasons or where he was coming from on that. I think him and I just have major differences on marijuana on Main Street. So I'm not sure where he was coming from on that. But
okay.
He was very effective in his campaigning.
Yeah, well, he spent, you know, he was like one of the major...
$10,000, yeah. I think, right?
Right. Yeah, I'm not sure what the exact... Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that...
Oh, no, spent money. Contributors over $15,000. It says for the thoughtful marijuana contributions... over $15,000.
Yeah.
Which, so, again, was crazy because his logo for it was a marijuana leaf. And nothing that Brian and Caitlin were trying to do was paint the town with weed. And yeah. He was kind of doing that. I found that interesting as well.
It has a nice ring. Thoughtful marijuana.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I will say the anti-marijuana shops on Main Street campaign ad were very misguided. They were confusing.
I think a lot of it was confusing. Yeah. And I think on purpose, almost.
Yeah, you know, it's a good campaign.
And I think you'll see that more in episode 8.
Oh. Ooh, love it. Can't wait. I did want to touch on, you know, this black market.
Yeah.
You know, I know in this episode that you say something about this, too, to the fact that, you know, the bellman at the hotel could go get it and resell it to tourists. Mm-hmm. That pretty much, like, there's probably, even though Brian and Caitlin aren't on Main Street right now, weed's being sold on Main Street probably somewhere. So
yeah, and Stephen, I really, really believe that. And I felt so convicted about that the entire time. If I'm a shuttle driver for a hotel, don't you think it's easy for me to go to Airport Road, buy $5 joints, and resell them to people at my hotel for $20 a piece?
Mm-hmm.
It is easy.
Right.
Granted, it's very, very illegal.
Yeah.
Right. No, I agree.
But the chances of them getting caught are probably slim to none because they're catering to our visitors from out of state that are riding a hotel shuttle. I mean, you know, it's going to happen, and I had grave concerns about that and still do just from a safety standpoint. At least when BCC was selling on Main Street, it was in a very controlled environment.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree with you, and that was, you know, through the series so far, for me, that was something that I just quite didn't understand. It was Brian and Caitlin were so willing to play by the rules, and I feel like they went above and beyond to try and do that. You know, even when we see back in episode 2 or 3, when, Brian's kicking the transient off in front of him, like, he's doing stuff uncomfortable mm-hmm. with just to still, you know, walk the straight and narrow in the eyes of the town so that he can try and prove to stay. And again, I do think the campaign in this episode was super naive, but I do think that Brian is a class act.
I just don't think he realized how much work needed to go in the campaign side. This could just be, you know, the magic of editing. He just came across as, no, people have supported us all this time. They'll come out and support us now. I don't think he realized.
Right. And I don't think he realized that it needed more work, more money, more attention. But then again, I think he was spread thin running. Mm-hmm.
I was just going to say that. He was super overwhelmed. So, again, in the way that...
That's where you hire a consultant and turn it over.
Yeah.
Right. Or, too, I mean, again, and I really, really like Caitlin, but the way that she's painted is a little bit, too. We see Brian doing the expansion, trying to do this, talking to Catherine, trying to do this, and she's, like, at the paint shop buying paint with her mom.
And for all we know, that could be, like, her one day off that she...
True,
you know.
But it seems like she could be helping Brian more.
But I think that she really manages more of, like, the day-to-day operations in the store.
Yeah.
And they have so many employees. That's a lot to manage.
Yeah, no, I, yeah. They, yeah, and
I just don't think they showed it.
I feel like they, that's what I'm saying. The way that she was painted was a little bit that she wasn't helping as much as maybe or she could. But again, I'm sure she has. I mean, she put herself on the line for her, you know, boyfriend in order to create this business, so she's super supportive in a lot of ways.
Yeah, I took away from it is that she's kind of at the end of her rope, and that we're seeing, like, a year plus of stress and where she's just about to break down is the way I'm peeling.
Yeah. Right. And it's just pure exhaustion, you know, and that, for them, they were traveling between three different communities, where their grow house was and then where their store in Crested Butte and Breckenridge. And those aren't necessarily close together. I mean, it takes a while to get to each of those places.
Right.
Yeah.
No, yeah, I'm sure. There's so much to do. And any business, not one that you even have to fight for. You know what else thought I was really, really interesting when you talk about, you know, the safety, when they show Sergeant Jim Gerhart, when he was saying that, you know, regulating marijuana takes a lot more time and effort on the part of the law enforcement than banning it, which is a very interesting fact. And it's, you know, in a way, it kind of really pertains to this vote, I think, because it's a lot easier to not have it on Main Street than to figure out how to have it there effectively so that people are happy, so that the weed owners are happy. You know, there would be a lot more discussions if the vote would have went yes.
Right. And I don't want to get ahead of ourselves, but in episode 8, when you know what really happened, and then there's kind of an after, and I do wish CNN would have done a follow-up, because we've had some public safety issues that have happened as a result of the vote, and it's what we refer to in council as unintended consequences.
Hmm. Oh, wow.
Yeah, we might even do a follow-up episode then.
I know.
Because I'm curious about what's going on, you know, because it's been, what the cameras stopped filming, I'm assuming the end of December 2015,
It was like January, pretty much. December, January.
They did the full year, so I'd really like to see where you guys are now, 6 months later, 7 months later now, because it's I'm sure a lot has changed. So
we just need to go to Breckenridge. I want to physically see what's happening.
Well, we would love to have you guys, and I'd be happy to serve as a tour guide.
Oh, you're the best. Some of the other stuff that we see, which kind of doesn't pertain as much, but again, it's just showing the parallels, what's happening, and we see again why Catherine is so involved in this. Like, she finally tells Brian that she wants to have a grow as well, which again,
I was unaware of that until I watched the episode.
Really?
That's... Oh, absolutely had no idea. Catherine and I share quite a few mutual friends, and you know, I know her from a social standpoint pretty well, and I didn't know that at all.
She plays things really close.
I know, which is like, you can't blame her though. I mean,
yeah,
she plays things close, and she might have had her own reasons, but in the same sense, if Brian would have teamed up with her and let her run the campaign, I'm convinced that they would have won. I am.
I don't know. That's hard to say. Yeah. But, you know, I did know that Catherine had a relationship or business affiliation with Dave and Amy, who you see in some of the episodes.
Yeah, the Soulshine grow.
Yep, which I didn't realize that they had purchased Soulshine, because last we had known some other people owned it.
Right.
I guess Dave and Amy bought it. So I did know that there was some sort of business affiliation there. I just wasn't sure what it was. So I had no idea that there was the growth facility and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. Well, again, we do. That's what Meredith was saying earlier. I think when you got cut off was that we do see that the former owner from Soulshine, Christopher, he got caught in Nashville, and they like see.
Oh yes, it was terrible. Yeah, I mean, what bad press for us.
Mm-hmm. Right, exactly. He's like 145.
Just for the town of Breckenridge.
I mean, 425 pounds of marijuana. Like, it was like $1.7 million,
dude.
I do think it's important to note that when he owned Soulshine, and even currently, Soulshine doesn't have a retail license. They only have a medical license. They're not one of our retail stores.
So, and now when we start talking about the black market elements, it seems like Soulshine was caught up in the middle of that.
What I loved, and I know that last week we touched on it, I was super excited because I knew we were going to see a blurred face.
Yeah.
So I loved talking to Joe, the you know, the blurred bud tender, and how he was saying that, you know, how much he could do. It's like he does 30 pounds a year now, but if he had the medical license, he could do 75 pounds per person. But he also said that 50% of dispensaries take black market marijuana. So it's still all kind of messed up.
Really? You know? Oh, yikes. I don't know about any of that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's what he said.
Well, that's what he said. I don't know how backed up in fact that is. So.
Well, I mean, I don't think they're going to get people on the show that they don't check. I mean, it's CNN. Yeah. They probably fact check what they allow, what people say on the show.
But the onus is it's on them saying it, so they could be quoting numbers without actually quoting, like, real figures. But that being said,
the point is that the black market marijuana is still very strong there.
Well, and I wonder if the fact that, you know, they had the issue with not having enough marijuana to sell, if that's where some stores started going under the table.
Of course they had to.
I do know for a while that there was really a supply and demand issue.
Right.
Just not enough supply.
Right.
Yeah.
It's okay. And one of the other things that stood out for me for Joe is he said, sometimes I'll put 5 pounds of weed on my motorcycle and drive to Denver in a suit and tie and sell weed. But that's so, it's so interesting to me too, because it's like clearly this whole stigma of weed being for stoners, like that whole thing has changed, or it's changing, or it needs to change. There's something about it that this show, again, has created the platform to have conversations about it. So I feel, again, we have one more episode, which I feel like is going to put a bow on this show, but I feel that what it has done.
The last episode is wonderful.
Really?
Wonderful. Oh, so exciting. It's so good.
So exciting. Okay, so I know that it's almost time here to wrap up. Is there anything else, Elizabeth, that you would like us to know? Or is there anything else that you think we might have missed during this episode or the timeline or anything else to share before we wrap up?
No, I just think this has been such an important topic for our viewers to see. In some places, they can't imagine that marijuana would be legal and sold in a store. And in Breckenridge, it has been mainstream for a while through medical, and now that we're on to retail. But you can see it's still such a controversial issue. So I just hope that other communities can look to us and that will help them as they're making their own decision.
I agree 100%. And Elizabeth, is there anything you want the people out there to know that you're working on, or where the people can follow you if they have questions or anything like that?
Oh, sure. I'm not very much an active Twitter. I only recently learned that, so I don't really know where people can follow me besides normal social media. But I am working a lot on Airport Road, and you'll see that some in episode 8 coming up. But mostly just that we're committed to public safety, and if we're going to have retail marijuana in our community, that it needs to be safe, it needs to be done legally, and it needs to be beneficial for both our residents and visitors.
Yeah,
cheers to that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I also want to I want to say thank you for, you know, opening up on the show on both episodes and this about how to talk to children about this. I think it's such an important conversation to have, and it'd be great to see some more literature out there.
There's actually a bunch of literature on CNN's website.
Oh, good.
They have a lot of it up
there. Yeah, they do, and they have a little video on there. And, you know, the state of Colorado is getting really good about starting some parenting campaigns. Our local school district has sent out information. And it's really just an important conversation to have, especially with elementary-age children.
Right.
Yeah,
we want to get that out there sooner than later.
Right. Yeah. Well, thank you again so much for calling, Elizabeth. It was really, really great to talk with you. And I feel like we might have to have another conversation because you left me in suspense with a lot of things.
No. Well, I look forward to you guys seeing episode 8 again. It's wonderful. And thank you for covering this show and covering Breckenridge. We really appreciate that.
No problem. It's been a real pleasure. It's been one of the favorite shows I've ever covered because it does. There's so much commentary and conversation And again, this is something that still, unfortunately, is seen as somewhat of a taboo. So to be able to talk about it and, mm-hmm. and to learn about it and hopefully educate some people about it is really fun for us. So again,
but there's so many other layers for sure, especially when you bring in the business aspect of it. And that's right. where I think it's most important.
Yes.
Right. Okay, great. Well, until next week, Meredith, where can the people find you?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at mplacco.
And you guys can keep the conversation going with me on Twitter, Instagram at iamstephz. Again, thank you so much, our special guest, Elizabeth Lawrence, for calling in. And we will see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.